This week on Hometown Ghost Stories. Spokane is a unique city that sits on the eastern side of Washington. Known as the Lilac City, the beautiful sights of the city are also surrounded by hauntings. An eternal staircase in a cemetery known as 1,000 Steps and the exquisite Davenport Hotel are just some of the more active locations in Spokane. This week we're joined by special guest Brent Thomas from the Paranormal Portal. This is Hometown Ghost Stories, Spokane, Washington.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Cindy clutched her purse as she approached the Monroe Street Bridge. The sound of the flowing water roared to her right as she took a big breath and stepped onto the bridge. Her car had broken down a week before, and she was now walking to and from work. Cindy made a mental note to call the shop in the morning to see how much longer it would take until the car could drive again. The moon hung overhead on an unusually cooler night. The weather must have been keeping people indoors, as she didn't see anyone else on the bridge, and only one car had passed her. As she approached the first set of columns on the bridge, she began to read the graffiti left on by Sharpies and cans of spray paint. She was laughing at a rather long rambling one about finding the culprit who stole a certain bike when one to her right caught her attention. In fact, Cindy stopped in her tracks to read it. "Beware the ghost of the witch." She hadn't seen that one on the bridge before, yet it looked extremely faded. The ghost witch was a bit of an urban legend in Spokane. In fact, Cindy had tried to look up the origins of the story once and found nothing. But if you asked the locals, they would all tell you that a witch haunted the bridge. Although unsettled, Cindy managed to crack a smile and resume her journey. A gust of wind rushed past her cheek and she pulled her coat a bit tighter. Just as Cindy was beginning to tune out the sound of the water, another noise caught her attention. The sound of slow crunching was echoing behind her, and it caused Cindy's eyes to widen. Did she miss seeing someone lurking behind a column? She wasn't sure, but decided to speed up a bit just to try to put some distance between them. As Cindy sped up, though, so did the crunching footsteps. After a few more steps, Cindy made an abrupt stop and turned around quickly. When she did, though, no one was there, and the sound of the footsteps were now replaced with silence. She turned back, realizing she was about halfway through the bridge. "She can't be real. She can't be real. She can't be real," Cindy kept repeating to herself as she took a step forward. A few steps after restarting her crossing of the structure, the footsteps began again. Cindy snapped her head over her shoulder without stopping and saw nothing, but could still hear the footsteps this time. Desperation started to overtake her entire body, and Cindy began to sprint, all while the footsteps kept pace with her own. Finally, as she made it to the end of the bridge, she stopped and turned around to see if there was anything else, and there was once again nothing. Cindy let out a sigh of relief. She began to giggle to herself for getting worked up and making things up in her head. Just then, her purse began to buzz, so she reached in to see who was texting her. An unfamiliar number appeared on her phone, and she opened the message. Cindy's eyes widened as she read the words, "Beware the witch." She stood there with her mouth wide. She was frozen in place as she heard the crunching footsteps approach her from behind and felt someone's breath across her ear and neck. I'm Rob Coakley, and this is Hometown Ghost Stories, Spokane, Washington. The first settlers arrived in the Spokane area in 1810 and set up a fur trading post named the Spokane House. The area was desirable for hunting because of the slow-moving and winding rivers and other waterways in the area. Years would pass by, and in the 1870s, James Nettle Glover would arrive with the vision of building a town. He would establish a gristmill, which brought more people and a general store. A few short years later, and the Northern Pacific Railroad would come in and make Spokane a hub city in the West. Mining became popular, and people began to flood in. On August 4, 1889, a great fire would destroy 32 blocks of downtown Spokane, practically reducing the entire city to rubble. The people would endure, though, and set up a city of tents while they rebuilt Spokane, brick by brick. The enduring spirit of the people of Spokane would also seem to follow some of them to the afterlife, as the haunted history of the city is vast. Where many of these residents of Spokane have been laid to rest forever is the Greenwood Memorial Terrace Cemetery. And the story about this particular cemetery is quite different than any other graveyard that you've heard of. And it involves a staircase. The staircase in question has been simply named Thousand Steps. The legend begins in 1898 when the cemetery sold a piece of land in the graveyard to a private social club, the Elks. The Elks would go on to build a terrace staircase leading to a grand mausoleum for members to be buried along the pathway. They would go on to hire private gardeners and fill the location with exotic plants. On top of the grand mausoleum, set a life-size bronze elk statue to add to the aura of the location. After years of members being laid to rest near the steps and mausoleum, the Elks would start to come into hard times in the 1970s. By 1981, they were so broke that they would have to take the elk statue down from the structure and sell it to try and cover their debts. This is when the hauntings and legends would begin. People visiting the cemetery at night who would try to traverse the steps up to the mausoleum would begin to feel an invisible force stopping them from reaching the top of the staircase. Eventually, this force would begin to show itself to some people. Reports of ghosts of different men, women, and children would appear as they tried to reach the top. People also heard shrieks and cries from unseen forces while visiting the cemetery. Others have reported a feeling that's akin to rain falling on their skin, even though the night's clear and nothing is there. One of the more unsettling reports is the ghost of a greenish, transparent man that floats above the top of the staircase and is waiting for those that can actually make it to the top. The identity of the green ghost is unknown, but it is more than likely a prominent member of the Elks returning to protect the final resting place of his brothers and their families. Since the hauntings have started, the Elks statue has been returned to the staff of the graveyard, but it has not been placed back on top of the mausoleum, and the hauntings have continued. One of the crown jewels of Spokane is the Davenport Hotel. Opening in 1914, under the leadership of Louis Davenport, the hotel was a destination spot with amenities that the world had never seen, including being the first hotel with central air conditioning. Families would come for the spectacle and events thrown at the Davenport. Over the years, Louis Davenport would even buy out the shares of the other owners to become the sole proprietor of the hotel. He would then go on to own the hotel until 1945, when he sold it. Over the following years, it would sell several times, and at this point forward, it would continue to fall into disrepair. In 1985, the hotel would close and sit vacant for years. On the brink of being demolished, it would be purchased in 2000 and repairs were made. And once again, the Davenport was a sight to behold. One thing that didn't change, though, was the ghost that continued to haunt the property throughout the years. Starting with Louis Davenport himself. While living in the hotel, Louis was often seen touring the Davenport in the very early hours of the morning in his bathrobe and slippers to make sure his guests were happy with their accommodations. It appears that this habit has followed him into the afterlife. Throughout the years, guests of the building have reported seeing a man in a bathrobe and slippers walking up the floors of the hotel. Although he doesn't say anything, it appears as if he's checking on guests and making sure they are enjoying their stay. The room he lived and supposedly died in has immense activity as well. Room 1129, which has been renumbered in recent years to 1103, has had guests reporting strange occurrences. Electrical equipment that won't shut off even when unplugged, and the feeling of a presence watching you have all been reported. One evening, a woman was staying in the room and sleeping in bed, when suddenly she felt a sensation as if someone had sat down beside her. She looked over and saw an indention. Next, the cover started to move towards her, as if someone was planning on getting underneath them. She bolted to the front desk, reported her experience, and asked to be moved to another room. A pair of ghosts that you probably won't read about, but if you ask staff, especially those working in the spa, will tell you about, is the ghost of a mother and baby. In one of the waiting rooms in the spa area, the cries of a child have been heard echoing down the hallway. Staff and guests that go and check on the sound have opened the door to see a woman standing in the room holding her crying baby. Just as quickly as the staff enter the room, the crying stops, and the mother and child vanish into thin air. The most famous ghost within the Davenport Hotel, though, is that of Ellen McNamara. In 1920, 68-year-old Ellen, along with her sister Margaret and two of their cousins Florence and Anna, had decided to go on a trip of Alaska, Canada, and various places on the western side of North America. They left New York on July 18th and had already explored Canada and Alaska and were heading towards Yellowstone and Glacier Park when on August 18th they were staying at the Davenport Hotel. They had arranged for dinner together. However, Ellen wasn't feeling well and decided to head to her room. Moments later, things would take a drastic turn. As described by her cousin Anna, quote, "We were sitting in the dining room off the lobby when we heard a crash. We got up to see what it was, supposing a waiter had dropped a tray of dishes. She had left us but 5 minutes before, saying she did not care for any dinner, and we were horrified to find ourselves confronted with such a tragedy," end quote. The tragedy in question was Ellen had fallen through the third floor skylight down 30 feet to the marble floor of the Davenport. Upon heading back to her room, Ellen had walked through an unlocked door on the third floor, where it's believed she thought she was walking into some sort of garden. The garden, however, was a glass skylight, and as she walked onto it, the glass gave way, and she crashed to the ground. Many witnessed the fall, and accounted that her shoulders hit first, followed by her head crashing against the stone. Several men rushed her to a couch nearby, where Ellen remained conscious for a few moments. She said out loud, "Where did I go?" before finally losing consciousness. A doctor that was in the building examined her quickly, seeing that she had broken an arm, leg, and severely fracture her skull, ordered for her to be taken to her room, where she would perish within the hour. Since that unfortunate day, guests have seen the ghost of Ellen throughout the hotel. A ghostly figure wearing 1920s clothing has been reported throughout the hotel, but especially around the guardrail of the mezzanine. Some that have been bold enough to try to talk to the woman have reported that she says to them, "Where did I go?" before simply vanishing. Spokane has a small city vibe, with lots of natural beauty surrounding it, but the hauntings of the area also linger throughout the shadows of the city. Whether you're looking to explore its historic landmarks like the Davenport, or wander its mysterious graveyard where the thousand-step staircase awaits, you may not be able to shake the feeling that you're being watched from the shadows by the ghost of the city, which adds a dash of thrills and chills to Spokane's mystique.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories, episode number 120, Spokane, Washington. I'm Jesse Wilkins. I'm joined by Rob Coakley. Hello, Rob.
I have a question for both of you, not just Dave this week.
Okay.
When you come back as a ghost, what color ghost are you going to come back as?
I will be a blue ghost.
Like flamingo pink. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that nice. Feels like a short color. That works.
We're also joined by Dave. Was that your whole setup? You're just whatever color Dave picked, you were gonna say it's a short color?
Yeah, basically.
The comedic genius has no boundaries.
We are tired. We've done a 72-hour investigation this weekend, which we're not gonna talk about on this show, but you know, we're in for a long night, gentlemen.
That's it. Yeah. Now your opening jokes are always fucking killer.
They're so good. They're so good all the time.
The problem is if they do actually become good, we're not going to know what to do because we just start off with a, okay, and we're getting going. And if we don't have that, you know, extreme letdown to start the show, how are we going to build back up? You know, we like to get better as we go. Got to start real bottom of the barrel. Speaking of real low, bottom of the barrel, we're also joined by Dave. Hello, Dave.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, boy.
Nice job on that video, Rob. It was well done.
Thank you, sir.
Another one that never ceases to amaze me. Did that sound negative? Never ceases to impress me. Yeah, never ceases to. I started saying that. I was like, this sounds like I'm going to say it's extremely negative.
Are you
another absolutely unimpressive video by Rob? No, I know what I'm saying is the AI images that were created of this, particularly of the old lady. The AI does such a creepily good job with terrifying looking old people. And this is another scary one. So for folks listening on Apple Podcasts, you can swing on over to YouTube or Spotify now and watch the videos. Highly recommend that you do. What's up to everyone hanging out in live chat? We have a lot of folks here. Matthew T came in with a giant slam dunk, gifted 10 Hometown Ghost Stories memberships on YouTube. And Julie just joined for a month as a YouTube subscriber. You too can unlock emotes by becoming a subscriber, not a subscriber. Well, subscribe as well, but a member on YouTube. $1 a month will get you the emotes and a cool little ghost badge, which happens to have a ton of green ghosts. And we talked about a green ghost in this episode, so we'll definitely jump into that. But how appropriate for today's episode. And we're also joined by a special guest today. Very excited about this one for the 155th time on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Brent Thomas.
Here I am, gentlemen. Thanks for having me back.
It's always good to have you. And Brent from the Paranormal Portal, phenomenal show, big fan. Just watched your episode that you actually did on the Davenport Hotel.
Yeah.
That was a special episode, paranormal investigation episode, which we always love, of course, for obvious reasons. And what a good job you did on that. That was impressive.
Thanks. And Rob, I got to give you a lot of credit there because you covered a lot more detail about the Ellen McNamara thing than I was even aware of. Oh. That was really cool. So well done.
Yeah. We have a subscription to newspapers.com, obviously, and it allows us to look back at some things, not all things, but it helps give a lot of context to some of these older cases that we're able to investigate by being able to look up the archives, right? And just see what they were saying at that particular moment so that we're not just going as much as like we do like pass down stories. When you can get a newspaper article from 1920 to give you the actual context of what happened. I mean, verbatim, you see it in that newspaper ad. She said, "Where did I go?" Yeah. Because that sounds like something that would have been added, right? Like she said this and then this happened. It's like, no, this is verbatim from the newspaper the very next morning. She said, "Where did I go?" That was her last words before she unfortunately passed away. So,
yeah, that's creepy. I didn't know that had happened. But now you, Rob, you've been to this location, right?
I have.
Yeah. No, Jesse and Dave, have you guys?
No.
Oh, okay. God, isn't it? It's breathtaking though, right?
It's amazing. It is one of the best, like in terms of just the way that they have set up this hotel and established its history and embrace its history. It doesn't it's not selling itself as a haunted hotel, but it doesn't shy away from that. Yeah. They do present that. But what I especially loved about this place was as you walked around it, right? Mm-hmm. All the old photos that they have in frames of different events that happened throughout the years. And some of those pictures are super creepy without meaning to be, I think. And it adds this whole element to this. Kudos to the people that redid this hotel because they were on the brink of actually demolishing it. Yeah. And they saved it, and it is gorgeous. It is just amazing.
And that blows my mind because you look at it, and it's like it looks like an absolutely beautiful hotel, especially the lobby with the marble floors and everything. I can't believe it. I mean, they must have done a hell of a job revamping the place and remodeling and everything to make it as presentable as it is now. Yeah. But I just can't believe that a place like that was right on the brink of being torn down. It's crazy to me.
I just pooped myself because I had this huge leg spike. And all of a sudden, mine was the only picture left in the frame of four of us. And I was like, ooh, it's my show.
We told you at the beginning of the show, we're just going to get it to
you. Yeah, we're leaving.
I didn't know you guys were going to bail.
That was the plan. But yeah, to mention those pictures, it reminded me a lot of like the Stanley Hotel and The Shining with like the old picture of like, you know, the whole group with everybody with the tuxedos and everything. And it is just, there's something eerie about that. And it's also, I mean, you could, obviously with any old picture, but you look at a picture, you're like, everyone here is dead. And some of these might be ghosts haunting this very location. You might be looking at multiple spirits that are haunting this place. It just adds another level of eeriness to it.
There is a very specific picture in there and I'll throw it in Discord. I think I took a picture of it and it's a May Day or something like that from like 1914. I'm going off the top of my head. I might have the year off and the event off, but it's a picture of an event they held for all the children of the city. And a lot of the children, again, this is photography from the 1940s. So they were probably moving a lot, but they're so blurry that they look ghostly.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It's like a terrifying photo to look at. You're like, I know they're blurry because they were moving because they're kids. And obviously, but man, it is a scary ass picture to look at because of what you said, Jesse. This is over 100 years ago this picture was taken. There probably none of them are left around, and here they are just looking ghostly as shit from over 100 years ago.
Cold Warrior drops $10 in super chat, says Spokane is a shithole. I'd rather move to Revere. Can you guys attest to this? Now, Prince, I don't know if you're familiar with Revere, but this is like the North Shore in Massachusetts, and it's a shithole. So is Spokane that bad of a place? It looked nice from the pictures.
Yeah, it's really gone downhill. Apparently the meth epidemic hit Spokane pretty hard. I'm not from the area. I'm a Minnesota transplant, but this is what I've heard from the locals. It's like,
but is it good meth?
I don't know. I've never played
with those. You know, those that dabble, they might be.
You don't need teeth. Yeah, if you don't need teeth, you might want to find out.
Yeah, look at that.
Also, it's pronounced Revere.
And apparently not pronounced Spokane. So
yeah.
No.
Glad we patched that up. 2 months.
I had that show started. Out of me.
Yeah. By the meth addicts.
So Spokane as a city, I think, has the most potential I've ever seen of a city. Mm-hmm. It has this beautiful area where there's these rivers and rapids coming down. Like if you built this city up, it could be mesmerizing. But like Brent said, unfortunately, there's just some issues going on there.
There is a whole host of amazing history over there and lots of places like that, like the Davenport and such. So, I mean, the city's at least held on to their heritage, which is really cool. And I agree, Rob. I think you're right. It could be. Every city has problems, but I think Spokane is a really cool city.
Yeah, it definitely is. The layout of it is very cool. I like small cities. Mm-hmm. More than I like the big cities, so I think there's potential here. Like I believe it or not, I like Pittsburgh as a city because it's got this small city feel that it's almost like a big city, but it's smaller. So mm-hmm. I got a lot of those vibes when I was in Spokane as well. But overall, yeah, it does need some work. I think I was sending you to some of the bridge graffiti as I was walking over it. There was like a whole story unraveling about someone's bike that got stolen.
Oh, is that what those were from?
Yeah.
You likened it to the, what did you call it? The town Facebook page for homeless people.
You gotta post on walls. That's what it's
called. Yeah. That's their Facebook wall, the bridge. But yeah, this city, although has its issues, there are some really nice parts of it, and there are some insane hauntings. And we have the Davenport. We're going to talk about 1,000 Steps. Let's talk about the bridge since it's kind of quick. The Monroe Street Bridge. That's what the opening story in this one was based off of. And this story, you heard that I didn't really go into the bridge afterwards, right? I only did the opening ghost story about the bridge. It is more urban legend and very almost guarded, because if you look up the Monroe Street Bridge hauntings, all you're going to find really online, unless you really dig, is they believe it's haunted by a construction worker, and it doesn't really go into the hauntings too much of the bridge. But the local legend, the very local legend, is that a witch haunts the bridge, and there's no backstory for it or anything like that. But the locals are like, oh yeah, the witch haunts it. Not online anywhere. No one's posted about how there's a witch haunting it, but the locals all seem to know about this witch on this bridge. So I thought that was really cool, because what's not online nowadays? You look for a witch of Spokane Bridge and you're not going to find it, but you go talk to locals like, yeah, we know about the witch over there. How do you not know about it? And yeah, it's pronounced Spokane, you idiot, Jesse.
Hey, we corrected it. We fixed it. Okay.
I mean, that's all I have on it.
Strange place for a witch to be, because usually when you hear about witches, you know, it's always the forest, it's the haunted forest, and there's a witch in a little hut that's inside the inside there, or a castle or something, but not a bridge. That's my first bridge witch, I think.
Yeah. I'd never heard about that, so I was today old when I heard that. I've never heard that before.
You don't live in Spokane, you're not supposed to know about it.
Apparently not. Yeah, I didn't travel over here to the north of Idaho.
We broke the news.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So, but that is like a local tale, and it doesn't really get too deep. There's really not much to say about it. So I thought the only way to even include it, other than mentioning it here, was to do an opening story on it. Mm-hmm. But we can go on to the Davenport, because the Davenport, and we'll close out with 1,000 Steps a little bit later. But the Davenport, we've already talked about how beautiful it is, but the hauntings are unique, and we'll get back into Alan McNamara. But I wasn't like you, Brent. When I went to the Davenport, I wasn't like, I'm going to do a ghost investigation. I was like, I'm going to take a day off from ghosts. I thought, maybe, right? I was filming for the show, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk too much about ghosts today, and I started talking to some of the employees, and I was near the spa, and ghosts came up, and I started talking about the show, and they're like, oh, we have to tell you about this room. And this girl brings me to this room, and she's like, in this room, multiple employees have heard the mother and the baby. And she was telling me, like, people will not close in this location in the spa at night. And you don't really read about this one online either. And the funniest part about this entire story that I was being told, I'm in the room, I'm sitting there. That girl had to leave. And as I'm sitting there, another girl runs into the room. She goes, I heard you talk about ghosts. Has anyone told you about the girl, about the crying mother and the baby that's in this room? And I'm just like, okay. So we got some, so we get some overlap with other employees that are telling the story and have experienced this story. And it's funny because when you go to these places, you go expecting them to talk about Alan McNamara, right? That's the ghost that you know about. That's the one that they talk about. But when you talk to the employees, you talk to the people of these places, sometimes you get a whole different story that's almost unique to the people that are staying there.
It adds a whole element when you actually go to the place with the haunting, because people are excited to share their stories with you when they know that you're a paranormal investigator. So anytime we're able to do that, it's great because we get to add all these extra stories that we wouldn't have otherwise found just researching.
Yeah, it helps out tremendously. It helps give context.
We've mentioned how important it is too when it's coming from the staff. When it comes from just somebody that stayed at the hotel once, you're like, well, maybe you did experience something paranormal. But when it comes from the staff, those are the people that are there every day, and they have the best stories because it's the most consistent.
Yeah, and they're having them. They're there all the time being exposed to it. Interestingly enough, when I was there doing the investigation, we had the same experience where people would come up and that worked there would talk about it. But the interesting thing, and now that I've heard your history and what you're able to find, it doesn't seem to bear as much weight. But at the time, one of the employees said that there is a suggestion that perhaps Ellen was pushed, that she didn't just fumble through the stairs or through the skylight, that she was walking on a walkway around the skylights and was pushed. And so I don't know, but now hearing the context of what you uncovered from the actual newspapers and stuff, and she was traveling. I didn't know she was traveling with this group of people as well. So that's news to me as well.
Yeah. So she's traveling with family members after losing her husband, and they decided no context to this other than what you read. And they just decided to go on this big West Coast trip where they were hitting Alaska, they were hitting California, and they ended up here. And the family members just said she didn't feel well. She wanted to go to her room. Mm-hmm. So she either walked up the stairs or took the elevator, and she took a wrong turn and opened a door walked through a door that was open that staff never really thought about. Like, it never was an issue before. And I don't know how you leave this door open. Like, how do you, I know they were doing it for like cooling or whatever, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's a glass floor. Like, what do you think? You don't think an accident's going to happen? You don't think a child's going to run onto this at some point? Or, you know, this woman who got turned around a little bit, unfortunately, she walks out on it and she comes crashing through the glass ceiling directly to the marble floor.
Yeah, it's tragic and it's wildly irresponsible, obviously, to leave that door open, but it does kind of raise some question marks, and you can see why somebody might put two and two together and think maybe this was intentional. Maybe she got pushed through. Maybe it was somebody that worked there that was like, hey, check this out, opens the door and shoves her through or whatever. So, and her last words are so eerie. Now I understand you go crashing through, fall 30 feet and land on marble. You're going to probably most people are going to wake up and be like, where the hell am I? Wasn't expecting that, but just an eerie last phrase to say.
Yeah, and I think that kind of helps you learn that she probably wasn't pushed. Because if she was pushed, I feel like her last words would, I mean, obviously she could be like,
that son of a bitch.
Right. It was the bellboy. He did it.
With the candlestick.
Yeah. He hates this job.
I wouldn't put too much into what her last words were, because we're dealing with somebody who had a brain very trouble. Traumatic brain injury.
Yeah. Luckily, our resident brain injury expert, Dave, is able to provide context on that.
That's what I'm here for. Why was there, so Pops just brought up in the chat, why was there a door that led to this? Like, why was there a door there at all?
Well, because
maybe they use it to clean the top of the windows or something. Yeah, I don't know. Fair.
Yeah. I'm sure it was for access to it, like you're saying, Jesse, but I know it was also for cooling.
Yeah.
You know, you used to use these large airways. We talked about it with the Driscoll Hotel, right? Where they were creating new, or what we consider like different ways of getting the cooler air into the building. And they said that that's why this door was open, was to allow cooler air to flow for whatever reason. So
you might want to put like a guardrail or something. If
you're put the something.
Death door. If you're going to open the death door, there's got to be something. Yeah.
Yeah. Please don't step on the glass. How about a sign? How about a sign to start?
It's like in Star Wars where there's no railings anywhere. You just walk off of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that in, I mean, in a lot of those movies, but Lord of the Rings too. You have this giant narrow bridge and just no guardrails. I'm like, who? OSHA did not approve of this. No. OSHA does not approve.
And you would think that OSHA would be in Mordor for sure.
Definitely.
There's a special place in Mordor for OSHA employees. That's what they say. Put that on a shirt.
We're going to, actually.
That and the Bridge Witch.
Yes, that and the Bridge Witch. That is going to be our special Spokane episode ones. So, yeah. So after this, they start seeing her ghost in the hallways, walking around. And she looks sort of lost, which makes sense, right? Because she was probably concussed as she hit the ground. I would assume you hit the ground with that much force, you're probably overly concussed at that point. And her ghost seems to be disoriented, and people have heard her say, "Where did I go?" Which, airy in life, but especially airy and deaf to hear the words, "Where did I go?" If you're walking up on a ghost.
And then also a valid question when you go crashing through a glass floor and you all of a sudden you're in the hotel lobby.
Yeah.
But I can see why the ghost would be saying that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, any other employees giving you any more info on her? Did they mention seeing her? Because I didn't have anyone mention seeing her to me.
Seeing her, yeah. Some of the employees said that they saw her or thought that they saw her. Most of the reports of her that employees told us about was guests saw her here on the mezzanine above the lobby, walking around over by the Hall of Doges, that kind of thing. The other part that was thrown into that she might have been pushed was that there was another, like a romantic connection there with somebody, and perhaps she was arguing with them up there and was, you know, pushed. I don't know, but it sounds like a lot of possible embellishment given the historical precedent that you were able to set on this.
Yeah, but we see that with hotel ghosts as well. People want to sort of borrow from other stories they heard, because you'll hear a lot of the same ghost stories from hotel to hotel. I mean, the bride, how many hotels have a bride witch, right? Yep. I have a bride witch, a bride ghost. Bride witch. Goddamn bride witch. I'm so thrown.
It all changes in matrimony.
They can get married too. It's fine.
Welcome to Hometown Witch Stories, where we exclusively talk about witches going forward.
That and the kids. There's always a kid that fell down the stairs and broke their neck or something in every hotel. Yeah, that one's big.
It is also a big one.
A lot of similarities with this one in the Driscoll Hotel.
Mm. Yes. But it is a gorgeous hotel. And there are other ghost stories. There's the Bellman, but you don't really get much context with that. They don't know exactly who they think it is. They just, I heard reports of seeing a Bellman. And that's about it. Mm-hmm. And other than that, you know, there's been footsteps and all that other stuff. It's tough in a hotel, though. We were actually just having this conversation. I think it was me and you, Dave. We were talking about, like, when we go to locations to do investigations, like, hotels are the hardest place to do an investigation in. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about noise contamination and hearing all this other stuff, and you're trying to filter all this stuff out. How do you differentiate footsteps in a hotel?
Right. You can't. You almost have to rule out all of that good, evidence that would normally work really well in another location. You just have to almost rule it out because you don't know what you're hearing.
It's tricky, and you got to be so quick to check the hallway. And we got this a lot at the Emily Morgan Hotel, where they got the sound of like gurneys being wheeled down the hallways. and people would be quick to open the door and check, and then they don't see anything there. But that could very well just be a hotel maid wheeling her cart down and then checking into a room. By the time you get to your door and open the room, you look out, that maid has gone into a room, and boom, you think you found a haunting, but you may not have. So it's so tricky with noise contamination in places like this. It really is.
Yeah. One of the harder types of locations to investigate. Some of the cooler ones, though. Mm-hmm. We talk about hotels, and I bring this up almost every time we talk about it, but the sheer volume of people that go in and out of these places that have crucial life events happen while they're in them, whether it's vacations, tragedy, I mean, in this case, a tragedy in terms of Alan McNamara, but every type of life event is almost happening daily or weekly in these places, that so much energy is being absorbed. And one thing we don't bring up a lot, we talk about how houses, when they're renovated, right, like that unearths this energy and creates more hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels are getting renovated almost 24/7. There's always some sort of upgrades going on and whatever, mind you. So a hotel is a hotbed of activity at all times, yeah. But the hardest to extrapolate that evidence.
Right. Steph actually brings up a great point that completely debunks what I said earlier about the hotel maids, that they aren't actually allowed to bring their carts into rooms. And her source said she did it for like a week. That makes complete sense. And now that I think back on it, I have never seen a maid actually wheel the cart into a room. So
yeah, but a room service cart could go into a room. So your point stands. Maybe.
All right, there we go. Yes. Room service or ghosts.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that we order at hotels.
Yes.
Is room service and ghosts.
That is true.
It actually is. So, Brent, why don't you tell us a little bit about your investigation? And like we mentioned, Brent did an investigation at the Davenport Hotel. You can go over to his channel, watch the entire thing. So I don't want you to give away everything. And I believe you do have a clip for us.
Yeah, I've got a few. We can cover whatever you want. They're very short clips, but... Essentially, my friend Charles Howard Johnson and I went in and investigated, and it was actually my real first official investigation. I'd been at a ghost town in Coloma, Montana before this, but it was my first outing out. So I really only had like a K2 meter, a voice box kind of set up. It's called Based on the Portal from Charles Huff, I think that's his name. From Huff Paranormal I had a K2 meter. That was like it. But I went with Charles there, and we had the circus room. Now, we didn't really talk about the circus room, but that's supposedly along with Lewis's room himself, where he passed and his wife passed like 15 years later. The circus room is supposed to be the next haunted location, like the next hot spot in the place. So we had that room, and it's really kind of a bizarre room anyway, because there's like these 3D motifs of circus all over the walls, and there's the circus canopy over the windows inside, and then the lights look like these bunches of balloons. So
on the surface, it sounds like an absolute fucking nightmare.
Absolute nightmare.
But I watched your video, and the room still looks nice. It has these beautiful headboards that they look like they're hand carved, and it's actually still a nice room. It sounds like something out of an absolute nightmare, but it looked good.
Yeah. If you got something against a circus, you would not like this room. But we started out there. One thing that was not captured on film and was not really mentioned in the video, something I've talked about on my show, and it was a personal experience, but when I was wearing flip-flops and shorts and t-shirt and a button-up shirt, and whenever I take off my shoes, I'm not like a toddler where I kick them off and just kind of go running. Like I step out of them, and so like they're there when I want to get back to my shoes. And we got in the room, and I stepped out of my shoes and right next to my bed, and then we talked. I did an intro for the video that we were going to do and the investigation, and we went over some things, and then we decided we were going to go down the lobby, and I go back to get on my flip-flops, and there's one shoe there, and I'm looking around going, where the hell's my other shoe? I didn't know it, you know, so I looked around, and then I had to feel, well, what about under the bed? And so I looked under the bed. These are king-size beds, and in the middle of the bed, underneath is my other flip-flop. So I'm, you know, big fat me, I'm down on the floor, you know, sweating it out, getting my shoe out from under there, get my shoes out. We go downstairs, we come back up. And now the next time I take off my shoes, I was very deliberate and very attentive to how I took them off and stepping away, looking that they were still there. And then we did some more stuff in the room. And eventually we were going to go back down to the lobby. I go back down over there and there's one shoe. Sure enough, under the bed is my other flip-flop under the middle of this big size bed. So I'm like, you dick. So I'm
not there. Because if it happens once, then you're like, oh, maybe, you know, my buddy that I came in, maybe he right. it and didn't notice. But the second time.
Yes.
But how cool would it have been? And this sucks that it didn't happen. How cool would it have been if you went to go see where your flip-flops were and they were replaced by fucking clown shoes?
Yeah, well.
I would have checked out.
I felt like a clown digging it out of that bed. But anyway, I dug it out again. We ended up leaving and then coming back later. It happened a third time. And
oh,
then
no away.
Way. Yeah, three times. One shoe, and it was always the right shoe, was under the middle of this bed. Like something was just dicking with me the whole night. I was like, you dick. You know, so it was an interesting personal experience. Nothing I documented or anything, because I wouldn't have had the foresight to get a camera on the shoes. But to be
fair, if you did capture the shoe just under the bed, that's going to be torn apart in the YouTube comments. As, oh, you're sure. kicking at your video. So it is what it is. I mean, you have your story. You know it's true.
Right.
And when it happens three times in the same night,
yeah,
that's insane. That's the consistency that we look for in these hauntings.
Yeah, it is. And so I got a bit of a clip here that I want to show you. This is in the clown room. We're doing an investigation. There's two parts of this clip I want to make sure to show you. I don't know how much time we want to take on it. Let me just, I'm not really familiar with StreamYard here, so I'm getting it. Here we go. Here it is. Okay. I am sharing this now. So this is basically looking to communicate with spirits using this portal setup. And just so you know, this is a cell phone, which is an airplane mode. It's absolutely not connected to anything. And on this is a phonetic database. It's basically segments of words. And it's a program called Spiritus. And from here, it feeds into two guitar stomp boxes, believe it or not. This is based on the Huff Paranormal design for the portal that costs like a lot of money. But this is a do-it-yourself version. So this is a reverb, the red one. And the next one is a noise gate. Noise gate is, reverb, noise gate, and then into the speaker. Now, the other interesting thing was this is actually my speaker over here, but changing batteries, trying anything, it would not turn on, And I was like, oh man, my speaker's fried. So Charles has the exact same one. So I used his worked fine. No matter what I did with mine, it would not turn on. Tried different batteries, messing with it. But when I got home, I tested it again. It popped right on. So
that was going to be my next question.
Yep. So he had a camera failure that would not work. And we had a lot of battery drain throughout the night in this room. So anyway, here we are just talking to whatever might be there. So let's play it.
Are there any spirits here with us tonight?
Carla.
Yeah. And that was so clear. It just spits out Carla. And it's a full, dual syllable word. So
when I first heard that, when I was watching it earlier, I thought it was either Carla or Connor.
Yeah.
Can we run that back one more time?
Sure. Let me cue it up here. Oops.
Carla.
Let me try it again.
Are there any spirits here with us tonight?
Carla. Oh, it's Carla. Carla. Yep.
Yeah. So it's a Carla that was showing up here. Now, I did want to showcase this other thing, because what else we have here is we have two flashlights that were set, to be triggered by spirits. These are the twist-on mag lights that it's believed spirits can use a little bit of energy to make it work. Just in full disclosure, there are a lot of false positives with these things. It can be atmospheric, it can be temperature variations that cause them to flicker from time to time. So the correlation has to be that it's in real time to what you're doing or asking. If it's consistently hitting when you're queuing for a response, that is a big indicator that, okay, this really might be paranormal, because why would you get all these temperature and humidity fluctuations consistently like that. So that's the belief. And I'm not telling you should believe it or shouldn't, but we found it absolutely compelling. Now, the next to that is one of those cat balls, like one of these. And these are just these little motion activated little cat balls. And that thing sat there for hours, not doing anything. But if we can cue ahead a little bit, and I'll know where we are if I change cameras here. Sorry. There we go. I think we might be coming up to it right about here. I think, if I'm right.
Kind of sound like that. See, now that was different. You can do it. One, two. Did you hear one?
That was awesome.
That was brilliant. That came through crystal clear.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Nice to hear from you. Thank you for communicating. That gave me chills.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely good.
Now say the next number. One, two. No. He's like, hey, I gave you one number. That's it. Can you say another number? Say two. Oh, the ball moved. The ball splashed on its own. It's flashing again. Good job.
So that was the only time in the entire night that ball triggered.
What was the noise that accompanied the...
Just my sound effects. Just
Okay.
You know, because I thought, you know, when somebody's watching something, if it's just something visual, it doesn't grab your attention. So I did the boom.
Gotcha. No, that's... I'm glad you cleared that up. Because it sounded... If it was some sort of noise that happened from the speaker, it could have...
No, that was all post-edit.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like the reverb. People are kind of iffy on whether or not they like the reverb on it. But ironically, later on in the video, it started messing with your reverb pedal, and that sounded like it completely went out.
Yep,
and it was you got it on and off. Yep. Yeah, the noise gate is super important because that cuts out a lot of the white noise behind it. But the reverb, I like it just because it makes it sound creepier.
Yeah, well, the idea in I don't know if it's parapsychology or in at least EVP or ITC research is that you want to create a sound field that's big enough for the spirits to manipulate through what is called stochastic resonance. And so it's the idea that they can take existing sound forms and shape them into words and things like that. So, you know, again, it's out of my pay grade, but I know the word.
That's one step above. One step above. I knew reverb. I'm like, I know what that word means. I do the audio too.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But that's cool. There's a science behind it. It's not just, well, if we add reverb, it makes it sound really cool. You know?
Right. Yeah. It does sound creepier anyway, but yeah, it's supposed to create a bigger sound field that can be manipulated. So yeah, it's, and then there's an inverse stochastic resonance as well. And I don't understand the mechanics of that. So anyway, yeah. But it was a really good investigation. We had a lot of activity. We investigate the lobby as well, and we did get some really cool things happening with the flashlight test down there, and you know, really spot on with responses and stuff. It was really powerful. And then at the very end, the location that we were getting activity at the lobby with the flashlight. We went up and got the structured light camera, and you all have probably seen this on the ghost hunting shows. And it's where they have that camera, and then you see the stick figures.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, there's a lot of debate about them, but I'm here to tell you, we used that thing through the whole lobby and never caught anything. But once we aimed at the chair that was right in front of the flashlight, we mapped a stick figure in there. And so I maybe shouldn't have given that away because that was the big reveal, but you know, I don't know.
Wow. So there's a lot of pushback on the SLS cameras, and that's because for one, the technology is based around the Xbox Kinect, but it's but there are also phone apps, and I think the phone apps are real goofy, and I don't think that there's much to the phone apps, but if you get one like the XLS cam or the SLS cam, I think there could be something. The only issue that I've had with these in the past is whether you're using the phone app or even the SLS or XLS camera, if it picks up on something that's shaped like a person, it will map out a stick figure on it. Sure. So if you're picking up like a coat that's hanging on a coat hanger or whatever,
right,
then it's going to be like, well, if there's a person, it'll map it out for you. And right. I've seen so many of these videos where like, oh my gosh, there's a ghost there, or it'll find a doll. It'll map out a doll. It's like, well, of course, the doll's shaped like a person.
Right.
It's doing its job. It's mapping out what could be a person. But yeah, it's when you get them in the darkness. It's when you get them where there's no objects that even are remotely shaped like a human being.
Yeah.
That's where it's pretty cool. So I'm definitely not opposed to using the legitimate versions of the XLS or SLS cams, but right, it's anytime you're using any of those little find a ghost, the little apps, that's where it's
a little different.
But there are ones that are legitimate, like if you're using ones that are using Word database or something like that, where it's picking out different sounds and chopping stuff up, then those could absolutely be used. But you had said with because it was connected to a phone app that you had, right? But that one you took the steps to put it on airplane mode. So just the app is connected to the internet. Like, well, if they listen to a 30-second ad, we'll give them a ghost. You know, it's
The only function for this is to, and I'm sure it's on, you know, it's a timed algorithm. It spits out sound, you know, and it just does it all the time. And after using it for a while, you become familiar with what's normal. And then when something abnormal hits you, it's like, oh my God, you know, and I've used that thing for, you know, hundreds of hours. And so I'm familiar with it. And that's why I don't try other databases. It's like, I know this one. I know the sounds that are on it and part of the build. So when something like Carla comes out, it's like, you know, that becomes much more profound.
Mm-hmm. There was a few other ones that you got there. And there was also, I don't want to spoil your whole video, but you also get some activity on the EMF detectors, which was pretty cool. So
yeah,
go check it out. We'll link the actual direct YouTube video in the comments if you want to watch Brent's full investigation. I'm actually shocked that is one of your first full-blown investigations that you've done, because it seems like you had a lot of experience with what questions to ask and how to talk to a ghost. And you had brought it up in your video, actually, which is a super important point, where you had said, I know you're not here to entertain us.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that may have just been a little throwaway line that you didn't even realize that you said, but that's such an important thing. When you go into a haunted location, we always talk about going into it with respect. Don't steal anything. Don't act like an asshole when you're there. Don't break anything. Obviously, don't leave trash. That's another big one that drives me absolutely nuts. But you also got to remember that the ghosts aren't there to be your circus clown, ironically. Right. You're in the circus room. So maybe in that case, other cases they're not, you know what I mean? So it's like, you got to sometimes talk to these people like these spirits, like they're human beings. And that would not necessarily work well with every single scenario, but you got to realize that even as a human being, I'm more likely to have a conversation with you if you start a normal conversation with me.
Right.
If somebody just walks up to me and is like, do the thing that I like when you do, I'm like, dude, get away from me. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I was
doing anyways. I'll start juggling knives immediately.
I just liken it to, how would I feel if I were sitting? I just had a long day. I'm sitting in my chair, relaxing, and some group of people comes in and starts telling me to change the channel, turn on the light, make it louder, make it softer, and you know. And how long would I put up with that stuff? You know, it's like, get the hell out. You know, I'm not here for your entertainment. So
exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, every place is going to be a little bit different. They're going to respond different ways. But I find that that's probably the best way to start things off. Start off by introducing yourself. Just act like you're walking into a house that a spirit, or a hotel that a spirit has potentially been haunting for not 10, 15, 20, some of them hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And you're just walking in and you're immediately making demands.
Yeah.
They just might, if it's an intelligent spirit, they might just be like, dude, go fuck yourself, man. Like, and I've seen this 1,000 times too, because a lot of these places, they have paranormal investigators going there every single night. So it's like, they don't want to do the same song and dance all the time. So it's just a way to approach it that I really like there that you did.
Cool. So my final question for you on your investigation, what were the 10 things that you thought of as soon as you left that you were like, shit, I should have done that? Cause that's me at every investigation. As soon as I leave, I'm like, oh my God, we should have done this. We should have tried this. We should have filmed this. We should have, you know, like, even if it's like little things like filming more exterior shots, or, you know,
yeah,
different investigation things, or different questions you could have asked, you know, like, Is that what you do, or am I just a psycho as I leave these?
No, lights? Well, you know, a lot of those things came to me as I was going through the footage and realized I spent about, you know, 20 minutes filming my own double chin. And I was like, Jesus.
I was just about to say your video didn't have enough of your beautiful face in it. Like,
well, that's my other pet peeve with a lot of videos, though. It's like, you know, when you watch them, it's like, let's look at their face as they see things. Let's see their scared face. It's like, I don't care what they look. I know what they look like. I want to see what they're seeing. So I very intentionally don't, you know, make it all about my FaceTime. You know, it's about showing people as much as I can what we're observing, what we're experiencing, and trying to bring them into that experience, because who the hell wants to see me make a scared face, you know?
Well,
us, the viewers.
I get your point, but I think just to counter that slightly, mm-hmm. is the best way is to show both.
Sure.
Because if I can see your honest reaction as it's happening,
right,
it helps validate it.
Absolutely. That's the other thing too, is if we just hear someone being scared, then you never really know. And obviously we're not talking about your video in particular here, but when you see other ones, you're like, well, are they acting? Is it fake? When you can add as much authenticity to it as you can.
Right. Yeah. I just try to bring it in, but I appreciate what you're saying. And I think probably the best of both worlds would be to have two cameras going in and kind of do it like you do. You see streamers playing video games. You see the video game and then you got the little corner camera of them playing it. And, you know, and that makes it the best of both worlds. It's just, how many times have you watched a show where people have that big face camera cook and like, oh man. Oh, you know, but they can't show you because it's FaceTime.
You know? Or they're missing the evidence because you're looking at their stupid face. Yeah.
Right.
I get that. Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool. For me, it's usually like when we leave an investigation, I'm like, we forgot to use this entire set of equipment that we got. It's like, I went out, I got it. So I love doing the flashlight thing. I forget to do it at every single investigation.
Sure.
I love it. The little touch torch situation that you had going on there. I went out and bought a mag light just because that's one that you're supposed to use. I put it in the bag. We never even opened it. We had so much stuff. We had too many new toys. That was the problem. So we forgot to do it.
We had a lot of new toys on our newest investigation.
Yeah. The big thing for me was that I came with so little that, you know, I had a K2 meter in the setup where the sound stuff was happening. Everything else was Charles. So I was just glad he brought his toys and we had a good time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, go check out Brent's video. But before we get out of here, we got to talk about the 1,000 steps.
Sure.
Spokane, because to me, when you look into Spokane, the number one haunted story for them is the 1,000 steps. And we title this 1,000 steps to hell because there are variations on this story. We've already talked about it this episode, how there's different variations of a ghost story. And we'll start with what we know about this place. Right. It's in, I believe, the Greenwood Cemetery, and it was bought by the Elks Club, this little portion of land. And not only did they buy the land, they told the cemetery, we're going to take care of everything. Right. We're going to hire gardeners. They had these exotic gardens. They built these steps with these terraces where the people were going to be buried. And it all led up, members of the Elks Club. And then it all led up to this mausoleum with this giant life-size bronze elk on the top of it. And the weird thing is they never put anybody in the mausoleum. It stayed empty. And this is from the 1890s on. They never put anyone in the mausoleum.
Because they were like, we're not carrying this body up 1,000 steps.
Well, we're going to get into that as well, because spoiler alert, there's not 1,000 steps. There's not 900 steps. There's not 100 steps. It's like, depending on who you ask, it's between 64 and 67.
Why isn't there an actual count? Like, these are tangible steps that actually exist, right?
Did you see the?
I think it's a lot of it. Yeah, it's in like ruins, basically.
So oh,
I think
gotcha.
They are destroyed. They are very much like. Basically, what happened was the Elks Club of Spokane went broke. They ran out of money. They took the damn statue off the top of the mausoleum. They sold it to try to like pay some of their debts. Actually, within the last couple years or year or so, somebody brought the elk back to the cemetery and gave it to the staff. And they're like, I have your elk. They're like, what elk?
They should have set up a payment plan so they could have paid it off in steps.
Ooh.
And that'll do it for today. No, you have it. Nice. Thank you. Beautiful.
So, but Dave, it does beg the question, like, why is it called a Thousand Step Cemetery?
Right.
And the answer to that is the legend goes that if you go up this on certain nights during certain circumstances, you cannot physically get to the top of the steps. It's almost like a force field, or you're being oppressed by paranormal spirits.
I don't need a force field to not make it up all 66 steps.
Yeah.
my fat ass has a hard time getting up the 23 steps to my bedroom at night. I'm just like, oh, it's 1,000 steps.
So
there's no sort of force field. I don't know.
Is it the force field or the whiskey? I don't know. That's what we call it.
So what do you think if they put the elk back on top, do you think that would settle the spirits?
That's a great question. And that's what I was thinking of as we were doing it, but they cannot put that elk back up.
Oh,
not because it's physically impossible, but did you see the condition of the mausoleum? Yeah. This is a huge problem in Spokane. Like, the entire mausoleum has been tagged. It's just vandalized. I wouldn't be comfortable putting, I understand the cemetery not wanting to put that back up there. So if that is the answer to the question, it's just going to come back down because some asshole is going to come take it.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I feel like they would have to build something new. So there would have to be some money that gets dumped into it to maybe build a new mausoleum to get that elk up there. And that probably seems like a city that needs to spend their money elsewhere at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah. And they don't even take care of this portion of the cemetery still. They like maybe cut the grass, but you saw the stairs. The stairs are completely disarrayed. They put that gate up, the dumbest gate I've ever seen, that you can just walk right around. You're like, don't go on these steps, that you better not get past this 4-foot gate that we don't have a fence around that you can walk around and get right on the steps. So yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that, but going back to it, just people say that you're not supposed to be able to get to the top of the steps, and there are stories of people saying that they've had issues with that and seeing spirits as they're going up and down these stairs. And we call it 1,000 steps to hell, and it's even more appropriate that you're on the show, Brent, because because people say that if you are able to get up under these conditions when the spirits are there and they're oppressing you and trying to keep you away, if you get to the top or the bottom, I don't know which way you're supposed to walk, I'm assuming to the top, that a portal to hell does open.
Oh, okay. Because I thought maybe you'd been talking to my wife or something.
She said,
What a reward. Like, I just went through hell to get up these damn steps, and now I'm in hell. I thought that was hell.
Surprise. So, but it is the most prominent story. If you ask people in Spokane, like, where's the haunted place? They're going to say 1,000 steps. 1,000 steps is like the go-to for everybody. People go there. There's still a slew of people that are there. The caretaker said people are there every day at all the hours of the day, looking at the steps, going to see the steps. Shout out to our listener, Lacey, who sent us in all the videos of the graveyard.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was not able to get over there, so she sent over some for us, and it seems like a very cool place. It's just, you know, you got the spirits of we think it's the Elks former members, maybe in their family. And then you have this weird green ghost that we alluded to at the top of the show. So like, you got all these things, but a lot of it really just feels like folklore. It really just feels like when I was thinking about it, when I was writing the episode and going over the research, I think people have seen something there. And then I feel like this is one of those ones where somebody saw something and then the legend became bigger than the actual story. And everyone started throwing their own spin on it. Right. So somebody went there, or multiple people went there, and they saw a ghost while they were walking up the steps. Well, now the steps must be haunted. Well, now it must have been hard to get up these steps because the ghosts were keeping them down, and the story just grew and grew and grew. But in a short period of time, because it seems like this all started in like the 1980s. From what I was reading, I didn't see many reports from before then. So it seems it seems very folklory, but also sprinkled with a dash of truth is what I would say.
When did they sell the elk?
I believe it was either late 70s or early 80s. Right. Yeah, it all ties together. And that's why I was coming up with that as well, like as I was going through it.
You get some stories that are born out of someone saw something creepy, like creepy grave, and they're like, oh, well, that's the grave of the lady that has wandered the cemetery with searching for her lost lover or something like that. You get stories that are built off of those. This one sounds like it has a little bit more truth to it. It sounds like it's got a little bit more backing to it. So I would put this in the likely haunted category.
It's interesting because, as you said, there was never bodies placed in the mausoleum. Right. So it is interesting in that regard, but maybe it's the spirit of what it was built for versus it being, the elk taken away. And I don't know.
I think some of the family still could have been buried there, just not in the mausoleum itself.
Oh, okay.
Because the terraces, I don't know if they were buried. I was trying to look it up. I couldn't find anything. They were supposed to be family plots and stuff up the terraces of the stairs leading up to the mausoleum. And my guess would be that they were supposed to put prominent members of the Elks Club in the mausoleum or something. Or, they were going to be extreme. I mean, this is conjecture, but maybe they're going to be extreme dicks. And they're like, all the Elks Club members go in the mausoleum and the families go on the terraces. Put all the wives down there or something like that, But that's all conjecture. I don't know what the actual plan was. Whatever the plan was didn't happen. And yes, the elk was removed in the 1980s, but that's also the time that they would have stopped having the gardener come and take care of this place as well. So that's when it's going to start to fall into disarray, right? So you combine the two things, and that's how legends can be born as well. So I definitely think it's haunted. I definitely think there's something to it.
Yeah, I mean, Lacey says herself that, and that's who shot the footage for you. She said that it's absolutely haunted and that she herself has had two ghostly experiences there. So Lacey, if you feel like sharing that story, definitely send it to on Discord. Rob, way to go on following up with Lacey about whether or not she has actual ghost stories from the location that you're covering. Way to go. Good job. Yeah. Great job. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So if you want to, again, you don't feel pressured to share your experience, but if you wanted to, we'd love to hear a full story. And I feel like we haven't plugged that in a while. If people do have their own ghost stories about locations that we have covered and locations that we haven't covered, and you feel like sharing them, you can throw those right in Discord, or if you just want to share them to us without us reading about on the show, then you're always welcome to email us. Or if you want to keep it to yourself, you can always just keep it to yourself.
Yes.
That's we have the listener. Listener episode coming up next week, don't we?
Oh, is that next week?
I think so.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to be desperate this time. We need a show next week, so please send us your ghost stories immediately.
We have a bunch, so
good.
Fear not. But yeah, send them in. If we don't get it on this time, there will be obviously more in the future.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for Spokane. Like, that is for now. There are other stories to cover in Spokane as well that I didn't get to, some really cool ones. So there probably will be another episode of Spokane.
Doing all your due diligence. It was a busy week, but yes, apparently Lacey literally sent you a picture of one of the ghosts that she saw, and that wasn't included in the episode. But maybe we'll cover it next week on Listener Submitted Ghost Stories. Brent, what do you got coming up on the show? Anything you want to plug?
No, I just, of course, we do live streams on the channel on YouTube every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Love to see anybody that's interested in coming on over and join us. But there will be another investigation video coming out sometime in the near future. And this is another haunted hotel in Spokane, of all places. And this is the Montvale Hotel, which used to be a speakeasy and apparently has a bunch of mafia connections in its distant past. But it's a beautiful little hotel and right across from the Fox Theater in Spokane. So we investigated there and had quite a bit of things going on as well.
Can't wait to hear about it. Maybe a little, do you get any Al Capone there? Al Capone is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Well, that's beautiful. We'll wait to see. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it on the show, actually. Don't tell us anything. You go check it out for yourselves. Again, Paranormal Portal, can't say enough about it. Brent, you have become our William Montgomery of the show. You have been on the show more time than any guest ever. So, and we love to have you here because you always bring the fire and smoke.
Well, thank you guys. It's always a pleasure being here. I love you guys and I love being on the show with you. So anytime you need a seat filled, by God, just let me know.
And we do. And that's why you fill the seat oh so often, because you always do a great job. Once again, follow Brent, subscribe to his YouTube channel, Paranormal Portal. We've been on it a few times. You can go back and see our appearances with Brent on that show. And we will definitely have you on again soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you, guys.
Don't leave yet. Stick around, because you never know what's going to happen with the Patreon name. So you're welcome to leave if you need to. Or if you're
I like this part.
You can go. But if you want to stick around, who knows what could happen when we read off the Patreon names. Let's get it started.
Let's do our reviews first.
I already built it up. Let's go through this first, then we'll go through the reviews. Let's start off with the VIPs. We have Tess, Dave D, Kate and Steve M, Blazora, Glitter Tease, Cammy from Washington, who this episode is dedicated to. Did we even mention that?
No, we forgot
you
to.
Forgot that too? Okay. Yeah. Next week, you might get some ghost pictures, some ghost stories from the location. You might get an actual dedicated episode. So, Glitter T, we're going to hold that off until we can do it right. We're going to do it right. Siobhan, not Sharon. That might be a little spoiler on who's going to get the episode next week, by the way. Kelly C, Jennifer P, Dakota G, Nick, Donnie N, Inspires Gaming, Allison V, Robert H. My name is Turkey Pete. I'm the king of the turkey meat. J9, Mallory K, Demon King, Mom and Pops W, Lisa J, and Jesse is the baddest dude in Revere. I feel like I read that exactly the way I was supposed to. Thank you so much for being members of the VIPs on Patreon. If you want an episode dedicated to you, consider joining the VIPs. A lot of benefits there. Let's jump into the Warren's Wards. We have Michelle Team Rob, Rachel G, Her Lady Spookship of Spookanistan. I got it. We're reading. We're doing good reading. Her Lady Spookship of Spookanistan.
Nice.
If you know, you know. Nefarious Chad Poles, Wahidi Pirate. I am the Bridge Witch, and I hate Rob. That's great. Julie Gooley, Eugene M, Arcade Hunters, Kath Q, Liz Young, DC, Chris Connolly, LBPS founder, next HTGS guest, the other Rachel B, Sarah Cook, Stitch Kitten, Ambie Rose, Janice G, Lily, Rachel B, the Green Ghost is so strong, handsome, and brave. That's a preview. That's a preview of moments to come in a haunted forest, perhaps. Sydney, not a demon doll Bowman. We have Papa Squatch. We have I am the Bridge Witch Bitch. Steph A. T-Bone Snake Strangler and loving it. Thank you so much for being part of the Warren's Wards. Next up, let's hop into the Ghost Pirate Mafia. I'm liking all the bridge witches we got so far. Mm. I don't think we're done yet. Hashtag Dave, please kill Rob. All one word, all caps. You're not going to do it?
Oh, right now. How?
I mean, all right, fine. All right.
Wow, just hate our Patreon members more.
You got to fulfill these promises. All right, speaking of which, everyone silence your phones. Hey, Siri, set a reminder on Rob's calendar that he's not my favorite. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. I'm kind of glad I read it correctly, though. I mean, I'm kind of glad I read it wrong. Set a reminder on Rob's calendar that he's my favorite and Dave is not. See how I naturally just read that the way it was supposed to be written, not the way that it's actually written, because I can't read. Bree, not Brianna, Miss Macabre, BRB, gotta go record the massacre in my garden. Naroku, as we get further away from that episode, that gets a little more alarming, doesn't it? Cold Warrior, who also donated today. So thank you so much, Cold Warrior. And we like having you here. Joey B, I told myself to stop changing my names, but I had to do this. Hey Siri, search for banana ketchup near me. D from H-Town, Sarah B, Dominica. Sorry about the name. Jesse couldn't help myself. Thanks for clearing that up, Angel. On Patreon, of all places. Monster Mom 04, Allie Dark Snark. You should have posted to the... I'm going to read it. You should have posted to the... I'm not going to read it. We have to... we have to set the line somewhere. And...
That was it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it. Megan S, Morgan S, I'll send you a message there, Cosmo. High pitched voice, Smiggly Wiggly. Sharon V, Wayne C, seriously, where can I get a baby seal embryo with big eyes? Crystal Quinn, Aaron A, Colby has left the group. Rob Coakley's allegedly poor luck. Listener discretion advised. You have kids on. It's okay to shut off the podcast now. Rob Cook is allegedly poorly ketchup jizz bukkakeed French fry jerk up party. Alicia E. Thick boy Freddy. I'm sorry. Thick boy allegedly poorly getting the ugly wuggly spoogly wooglies in the 1,000 step program for ghoulish Spokane meth heads. 20. Which is the bridge witch that works at Ditch Witch? You got me, Squatch. I couldn't do it. Sam from the Paul, Joe R. Paul from St. Louis, Al Capone, Carla sends her regards. Huggy Bear, Brennan, the ugly wuggly expert on all things Jeff. Solar Flare, Mariah M. Kirley J. Anthony, insert some half-assed Rob insult T. That'll work. Yeah. We'll take that as well. Cody G., Brandon W., Hoopley Woopley. Bridge Witch and XXXXXXX, make that bent neck Andrew throat noise. Oh, sorry. That's the noise that bent neck Andrew makes. For those of you that are going to see the blooper reel on the Hinsdale House, Andrew took it upon himself to scare the absolute fucking shit out of me like four times by just standing around corners and making that noise from time to time. And it was not okay. So that'll do it there. Cosmo, we do appreciate your subscription on Patreon, but I don't want to piss people off more than I've already pissed people off tonight. I'm talking about people of the bridge. So thank you so much for joining Patreon. $3 a month to get you on Patreon, $10 a month, or as much as you want to donate on Patreon. It's always appreciated. Again, we did a live investigation last week. That is all made possible by people who support on Patreon, donate on YouTube, listen to the audio version and listen to ads and doing those kinds of things. And we thank you guys so much. Like we said, every dime that we make on this show goes right back into it to do with things like investigations and travel to spooky places. So thank you guys so much for that. Anything else, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's get into some of our 5-star reviews since we changed the format of the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. This one is actually from YouTube, from Rodney. Said, I first came across your channel through the Talk is Jericho podcast, and I haven't missed an episode since. I've binge listened to every episode you've brought out. You're one of my favorite podcasts, and it keeps me going through a night shift at work. So that was from Rodney over on YouTube. So you can leave 5-star reviews anywhere as long as you kind of make it a point, make it sound like a 5-star review. We'll read it out for you.
Appreciate that. Great review.
The next one is from Thick Boy Freddy's Baby Mama, titled, Rob is the Best. You're All Jealous. And they started off with, this is definitely not Rob. I'm totally serious.
Okay.
Guys, if you're Team Rob, we have to get better at this because that sounds like something Rob would say.
All six of you, pay attention.
She goes on to say, my husband showed me the podcast sometime last year. He played in the car and your voices would instantly knock me out in a good way. We started watching the live YouTube during our crotch goblins chair practice every Tuesday. I love the show, the stories, and the side content, but most importantly, I love Daddy Rob. Don't tell Thick Boy Freddy though. This is the best podcast with amazing fan base. I look forward to every Tuesday show. Dave sucks. Jesse has little girl shoulders. Long live Daddy Rob.
Long live Daddy Rob, indeed. That's a great review. So thank you.
That was good. Thank you.
That was very good. Do you want me to read the Spotify comments or do you want to, Jesse?
If you got it pulled up, you can fire through them real quick.
All right. So Matt gave us 5 stars for almost making him spit coffee all over his desk after the Ugly Wugglies conversation.
Hell yeah.
Tyler said that the episode was great. Love that you can watch the video on Spotify. Longtime listener, and this is his favorite podcast. Keep up the good work. Joe R. said, love the episode, and also loves how she can now see it on Spotify. Great work. Thanks for the awesome work. Troy said, love the extra content like this, which is one of our side content episodes. RQF20D36RCNE32H0.
I was wondering what you're going to do with that name.
Wrote, I truly enjoy the hometown ghost story. So,
hell yeah,
there's that. Kate said, great episode. Love to see it on Spotify. And then Tyler commented on the Cell movie review that we did quite some time back.
It was a fun one.
Yeah, saying, this is my favorite movie review. Thanks to Rob. His tirade on Cell had me in tears. And I agree with Rob on the rating this movie deserves. The book was way better. And the movie failed hard. So you can now watch us on Spotify, leave us comments on Spotify, review us on Spotify, give us 5 stars, help us jump up the algorithm on Spotify, on YouTube, on iTunes, wherever you listen to us. Make sure you review us. Let us jump up the charts so that you can talk to all your friends about the last Hometown Ghost Stories episode. And you can tell everyone, yes, I believe in ghosts.
I have nothing left to say. I guess we send the show now. Rob got me all fired up now. I gotta
Bob got two compliments. He's all fucking fired.
I know. Jesus Christ. He's found both of his fans, and now he's on cloud nine. All right.
Let's start the show over. Welcome to Hometown Ghost
Story. All right. Once again, thank you so much, Brent, for joining the show. We'll see you guys on Friday for some sort of side content, and then back on Tuesday for...
Friday, the main side content is Mel's Hole, and you're all going to want to listen to this. If you're on Patreon, you've already got access to it, but we're getting really good.
Or if you were up early on Friday when I accidentally uploaded it to the main feed, you also got early access to it. But either way, we'll have the full episode up for more than just an exclusive half hour or whatever on Friday. So go check that out. Be back with listener submitted ghost stories. Make sure you send in your ghost stories, email or Discord, and we'll see you guys next time. Go subscribe to the Paranormal Portal, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.